My name is Zhihui Wang, and I'm from Massachusetts General Hospital. I'm a postdoc working for Dr. Thomas Facebook. And today I would like to present my research work on developing a multi-cell lung cancer model. So here are some clinical statistics about lung cancer. So more than 160,000 people die every year of lung cancer in the United States, and non-small cell lung cancer accounts for 85% of all lung cancer cases. And at the moment, non-small cell lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer-related death. And up to now, the outcome of current clinical treatment for non-small cell lung cancer has been discouraging. But the advent of molecular targeted therapies has generated much optimism. However, only a very small fraction of patients with non-small cell lung cancer, the number is actually about 10% of those patients who failed to respond to conventional chemotherapy respond clinically to molecular targeted drugs, including Erasa and Tarceva. So the situation becomes even worse. Non-small cell lung cancer is a metastatic disease. It means that if non-small cell lung cancer patients cannot be diagnosed and treated at an early stage, lung cancer cells will break away from primary tumor, entering into bloodstream, and finally form a new tumor in a different organ. So here is an example. A series of MRI data from a patient with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer to the brain. So this patient was treated with a number of therapies, first chemotherapy and then a combination of chemotherapy and Tarceva, and then a combination of chemotherapy and radiosurgery. So even with these mixed therapies, the tumor still spreads out into the brain. These are the new lesions. So epidermal growth factor receptor EGFR is frequently overexpressed in most non-small cell lung cancer cases. And EGFR exists on the cell surface, and it is triggered by the binding of its specific ligands, such as epidermal growth factor EGF and transforming growth factor alpha TGF alpha. And it leads to the dimerization of EGFR or heterodimerization of with other closely related receptors. And then autophosphorylation and transphosphorylation of EGFR or other receptors will lead to the recruitment of downstream effectors. Finally, it leads to the growth, cell survival, and other critical signals. So there are numerous proteins recruited in this EGFR signaling pathway, and some of the proteins are actually involved in other receptor pathways. The critical signal that dominates the control of cellular behaviors, cellular responses, are not fully understood by biological experiments. So computational systems biology has gained much attention in understanding such complicated mechanisms through an integration of computational and experimental approaches. The aim for developing computational models to understand the biology and the mechanism of the biology and the mechanism of tumor progression in a quantitative manner, and to test the hypothesis generated from biological experiments, and to drive new experiments. Finally, it can be used to predict the quantitative behavior of complex cancer systems. So to date, computational cancer models have produced preliminary results. And next, I would like to show some of the multi-scale lung cancer models developed by our laboratory. So before I show the details, and here's one question that is, it is necessary to develop a model across different scales. So we and others argue that a cancer model only focusing on the cellular level, multicellular level, or on the molecular level may not be suitable. In some cases may not be suitable because cancer cells react and respond to a heterogeneous biochemical environment. That is, cancer systems are context dependent. So this here is an example for explaining our opinion. So let's say this is a EGFR signaling pathway with EGF stimuli and EGFR downstream proteins, and finally it ends up with doubly phosphorylated sugars. So in a signaling pathway analysis, it's likely that a wide range of parameters, will feed in the ultimate cellular signal response. In our case, it is the duration and amplification of the doubly phosphorylated ERK signal. So however, if you put a cell with such a pathway in different biochemical environments, same parameter changes will lead to different cellular behavior. So therefore, it would be better if we can examine cellular tumor growth dynamics across scales. So our laboratory has been something has been developing a multi-scale brain tumor model. Recently, we started to simulate non-small cell lung cancer, and the focus is for quantitative study. It's for quantitative study and analyzing the relationship between the intrinsic stimuli and the properties of signal networks and the cellular responses. So okay, Yang model, and this slide shows the molecular network in our model. And this network includes two modules, and they are EGFR module and ERK module. By the way, and these two modules are deposited at CIVET, and the center of the for the development of a virtual tumor, so which is maintained by our laboratory at Massachusetts General Hospital, and the models deposited at CIVET can be reused by authorized investigators. Okay, back to our slide, and there are a total of 20 components in the network, and all the components have been proved to have significant roles in non-small cell lung cancer survival. So we use kinetic equations to represent molecular interactions. Here is an example for EGF binding to EGFR. V1 represents the reaction rate that for producing EGFR complex, and V2 is for represents the reaction rate for consuming EGFR complex. So once we have decided, figured out all the kinetic equations, and we use this generic ordinary diffusion equation, ODE form, to determine the change in concentration of a component over time. For simplicity, it is generated by using the reaction rate that produces the component and minus the reaction rate that consumes the component. So in our model, tumor growth dynamics are investigated in a two-dimensional microenvironment with a discrete lattice continuing 200 by 200 grid points. And the neutron cell is located at 150, 150, and it maintains the highest glucose and EGF concentration value and the oxygen and tension value. So a number of 49 cells are initially set up at the center of the lattice, and when the first cell reaches the nutrient cell, a simulation will be terminated, and the elapsed time steps will be used as a measure for tumor expansion rate. So we also predefined cell IDs from 0 4206, 4248, and we are particularly interested in the 4206, 4248, and we will discuss about the 4048 in more detail later. So what do we have right now? So we have a signaling network with detailed kinetic parameters, and we have a microenvironment with which cancer cells can communicate to perform activity. So what's the next? So what's the next? That is the question is how to quantitatively study the tumor growth dynamics. By using the some signal events. So in other words, how to link the molecular signals to a multicellular behavior. So our approach is that in our model, each cell has such a self-maintained signal network, and the molecular profiles will be recorded for each cell at every time step. For the next step, and a cell phenotype for the next step will be determined by check the change reads of some critical components. So this essential error read establishes the link between the molecular and multicellular level. Okay, this slide shows how we implement our error reads. And we consider four cell phenotypes in our model. These are quiescence, proliferation, migration, and cell death. Yes, cell death. And yes, we use the rate of change of PRC gamma for making the cell migration decision, and we use the rate of change of ERK for cell proliferation decision. We choose these two molecules because they have been proved experimentally to have a significant impact on respective phenotypes. So therefore, there are four situations exact at every time step. Okay, and the first situation are clear. That is, if a cell will stay its previous phenotype if neither of the change rates exceed their threshold. So if only the change rate of if only the rate of change of PRC gamma exceeds its threshold, and a cell will migrate. And if only the rate of change of ERK exceeds its threshold, a cell will proliferate. So this situation is unclear. So I mean, if both change rates exceed their threshold, what happens? So in here, we make two assumptions. These are rule A, migration advantage. It means that a cell will migrate anyway. So the other one is rule B, proliferation advantage, that is a cell will proliferate anyway. And next, what we are going to do is to check out the details about rule A and rule B. So here are two typical simulations for rule A and rule B. Let's first see a simulation result of rule B. So blue is for proliferation and red is for migration and green is for quiescence. So we can see that there are more proliferative cells in this simulation and cell growth, tumor cells are stationary without much expansion. So here this is a simulation of rule A. So again, the blue is for proliferation and the green for quiescence. And here the red is for migration. So it can be seen that there are more migratory cells in rule A than that in rule B. So I can see. So because we care much about spatially aggressive cancer, and rule A has been further studied. Because here is the neutron cell. 151. So we performed a detailed test on rule A by using different EGF under conditions with different EGF concentrations. And this slide shows two of them. that is EGF concentration with a concentration of 2.61 nanomolar, and the other one is 50 times as much as this one. And so so here's the question: is there any difference in terms of tumor expression rate between these two simulations? So and under different EGF concentration, the different conditions. So okay. Oh no! It's because here is the neutron source, and from here, starting from here, the EGF and the glucose and the other chemical cues are normally distributed throughout the entire lab. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that. Yes. It's because it's normally distributed, normally distributed, and then here is the highest value of EGF.
I understand, but if you have a
fixed
computational volume in the source, you just pump out EGF, you'll eventually fill it up. You just fill up the whole volume. So how do you maintain this gradient?
Oh no, we didn't consider that in. In much detail about the EGF gradient, and for the initial setup, and we normally distribute the EGF, and then and it's just there is we use a PDE equation and to control the distribution of EGF afterwards. And but the glucose is normally is always replenished at every time step, but the EGF is not. So I would like to start the two simulations at the same time. See if it works. So so we can see that and summarize the speech. So we can see that the one with higher EGF concentration induces a faster tumor expansion. Okay. So the result is that it does take 102 times that for the simulation to be finished. Very quickly. So this slide shows the molecular changes in more detail, and which are the change of PRC gamma and the rate of change of PRC gamma and the rate of change of ERK with increasing EGF concentration for the cell number 48. And I hope you still remember that the cell number 48 is the one closest to the neutron source, and we are interested in four cells. 06, 42, 48, and this it just shows the results for the cell number 48. So for the cell number 48, we can see again the green is for quiescent, blue is for proliferation, and red is for migration. And we can see that the number of proliferations decreases gradually up to a phase transition between times 31 and times 31.1 and times 31.2. It means that if EGF concentration is less than this value, proliferation phenotype still happens to the cell. However, if it starts to exceed this number, cell proliferation is entirely disappears. And So we also did the same types of detailed tests on cell 0, 06 and 42, and no such phase transition no such phase transition behavior happened to these three cells. Accordingly, so we can tell that this phase transition behavior is dependent on two factors, EGF concentration and the location of the cell to the south. So okay, so far we have I have introduced the detailed tests about the impact of your EGF change on tumor growth dynamics.
So what about other signaling molecules? So next, through sensitivity analysis, I would like to address this question. So okay. So sensitivity analysis is a method for identifying specific parameter perturbations that have much impact on system behavior. So this method is very important in system biology because sometimes it's not practical or sometimes impossible to do a lot of biological experiments. So moreover, there are also some other things that sensitivity analysis applications can do for biologists. So however, to date, and a lot of sensitivity analysis efforts have been focusing on the signaling network scales within cells. And as we indicated before, cancer cells react and respond to heterogeneous cancer environments. So that it would be better if we could examine tumor growth behaviors across scales. Okay, so we proposed an approach for performing such cross-scale sensitivity analysis. So like some other studies, and we use the sensitivity coefficients to evaluate a parameter of the sensitivity to the model. P represents the parameter that is going to be varied in the simulation, and I is the response of the system. So in this case, delta M is the change in M due to the change in P delta P. So the higher the absolute value of this sensitivity coefficient, and the more sensitive is the given parameter. So unique to this study, we use tumor expansion rate, which is a multicellular level behavior as output of our model. So because in a signaling pathway analysis, and the output is something like the duration and amplification and changing patterns of some critical signals. However, we scale that up to a multicellular level behavior. We can do this only because our previously developed non-small cell lung cancer, the two-dimensional model, has established the link between these two scales. Okay, here are the results, and we varied the pathway component concentrations from 0.94 to 100 fold of their reference values. The reference that are obtained from the literature, and so we can see that PKC, MEK, and ERK have higher sensitivity coefficient values. So that these three components are considered to be critical to the model. Okay, the peak maxima happened at the variation of 1.1, and at variation of 2.0, the sensitivity coefficient, the y-axis represents the sensitivity coefficient, the sensitivity coefficient dropped dramatically. So what happened? There is a big gap in terms of sensitivity coefficients between these two values. So what happened to the aberrations between these two values? Next, we are going to find out. So, okay, this slide shows what we have done for finding smaller changes in critical components on changing the system behavior. So again, the y-axis is the sensitivity coefficient, x-axis is the variation in fold. So we can see that the sensitivity coefficient value drops gradually as the variation increases. And in these three figures, and the increment increase is 0.1, and in these three figures, the increment increase is even smaller. So we can also tell that, and a small variation You can see here 1.01 and 1.02, a small variation in the reference value of all the three critical components leads to a relatively large change in tumor expansion rate. So we also performed this type to find out which are the critical reaction steps in our model. So as a result, and the steps 10, 12, and 16 are critical reaction steps. And these three steps are also associated with the three components, the three critical components that we just find out. And again, a small variation and the changing pattern, changing patterns are also similar to what we have found in critical components. And again, a small variation in its reference value leads to a relatively large change in sensitivity coefficient. So okay, so here we can, based on our findings, we can come to a conclusion that a small variation in the reference value of critical parameters of the model, no matter the parameter is a partly component, or it is a reaction step, and then this small variation will lead to a relatively large change in system in system expansion rate. This is the main message that we can that we got from the curve scale sensitivity analysis. So okay. Experimental. so okay. To validate and refine our model parameters and our collaborators from Translational Genomics Research Institute did a set of migration and proliferation assays for us. And the purpose of this experiment was to study the PRC gamma depletion on EGF stimulation in non-small cell lung cancer cells. So here I have to clarify that I'm not an experimentalist, so that I do not want to go into the details of the experimental results. But briefly, this experiment did confirm that PRC gamma played a role in regulating cell migration and proliferation. So this slide shows the phosphoproteomics data of work. I do not want to go into the details about the experimental results. And what I'm going to say is that, and our next step is going to use some of these experimental results and some other ongoing experiments to revalidate, to refine our model parameters. So okay, and this okay, next we just showed the model extension on experimental side, and this slide shows the model extension on computational side. So okay, first we would like to extend our two-dimensional model to three-dimensional model. The reason lies in that first, a three-dimensional environment is a more accurate representation of a real tumor, and thus it supports the translation to clinical application. And second, and the tumor growth dynamics in 3D may be different from that in 2D. And the same as the two-dimensional model setup, and we will have initial cells initially set up in here, and there is a nutrient cells in here. So this slide shows the improvements on the molecular level of the model. So that is, we incorporated this TGF-based module into our previously developed EGF ERK signaling pathway. We did this because the more function of TGF-based pathway signals will lead to a variety of cancer type, cancer disease, including non-small cell lung cancer. So Okay, the other reason is that and by having the TGF-H as another input to our model, in addition to this one, EGF, and we will have two inputs, okay? And so we will be able to examine the crosstalk behavior of the model. Due to the combinational changes to of TGF-H and the EGF. So, okay, and I tested the simulation results in 3D, just some preliminary results. However, it didn't work before I took, before I had lunch, and it's not supposed to be working now after I had lunch. So it's just the result is just this one with higher EGF concentration leads to a faster tumor. And the tumor cells move towards the lutein cells faster in the, this one. And this result is consistent with what we have found in using our 2D model. Okay, this is so. Here, this slide shows the impact of changes of EGF and TGF state on tumor growth and tumor expansion. So. Okay, and the tumor growth is indicated by cell number, and the tumor expansion is indicated by stimulation step. And the x-axis is again represents the variation in fault of their reference concentration level of EGF and TGF bit respectively, and the y-axis. It represents the cell number, and this y-axis represents the stimulation step. So I will clarify something. And in these two figures, and we did a lot of tests. We increase EGF concentration level, while keeping TGF-beta concentration level concentration fixed. And in these two figures. And we increase TGF beta concentration level, we'll keep EGF concentration fixed, keeps one and change one. And because these are just the preliminary results, I don't want to go into the details, but the big picture is that EGF and TGF beta have different impacts on tumor expansion and tumor growth. And for example, increasing EGF concentration always leads to a faster tumor expansion. However, TGF beta sometimes as a tumor suppressor and sometimes a tumor stimulator. Okay, conclusion and future work. We are going to revalidate the model ahead, as I have indicated, and we are going to validate the model parameters at both molecular and cellular levels with experimental data. And with the 3D model, we are going to examine the crosstalk behavior of the signal network on the multicellular level behavior, on the change of biological responses at the multicellular level behavior, cellular level. So then we are going to explore the possibilities of combined effects of parameter variation simultaneously within the 3D model. This is a type of what we just show is a type of local sensitivity analysis method. And here, to change parameter variation simultaneously is a type of global sensitivity analysis. So last, we and others bring forward a potential path in cancer modeling, which is hybrid, multi-scale, and multi-resolution. Okay, acknowledgements, and I would like to especially thank to my colleagues at Compass Biosystems Modeling Laboratory and at Martinez Center for Biomedical Imaging. And we would like to thank the collaborators from Translational Genomics Research Institute, PGene, and Harvard Partner Center for Genomics and Genetics and Genomics for their experimental support.
and the modeling works were funded by NCI ICDG program. Thank you very much.